You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by Gardex, industry-leading automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. To find out more, visit gardexgroup.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Brewer.
And I'm Andy Jay. Hello.
And guess who...
Hold on. I'm in the back seat.
Guess who's in the back seat of the car is Mrs. B. Hello, Mrs. B, and welcome, everyone, to the show. Welcome back to the podcast. And if you don't already know, this is a safe space for all you petrol heads out there. It's where we show our love of motors from A to Z with a little sprinkling of celebrity guests along the way. So sit back, relax, as we go through the gears on another one of our amazing podcasts.
Hey, listen, we just want to say thank you so much to everyone that has been in touch about the pod so far. We've heard from so many of you and we've been so chuffed, haven't we?
Yeah, it's amazing. When we put it together for the people out there to just have fun with it and to run with it. It's an absolutely amazing feeling. And to hear that we've been hitting the number one spot in automotive on our podcast all over the globe is just an absolute delight. So from me, Andy, the team that put it together.
And all those armchairs, they keep pulling up.
All those armchairs from Michelle, from our sponsors Gardex, we just want to say a very, very, very big thank you.
Ooh, yes, we totally do. We're chuffed a bit, although a couple of people have very politely pointed out that once you're at the top, the only way to go is down.
So
we kind of need your help in order to kind of keep us in this position. It's not just about sort of continuing to listen to these shows because we make them for you, but apparently there's algorithms and so on and so forth connected to podcasts that much brighter people understand better than us. And apparently things like reviews, ratings and so on, ideally clicking on the 5 stars, sharing it with your mates. And if you can say a couple of nice words on Apple Pod or Spotify or wherever, that would be lovely.
We would really, really like that. Now, if you've missed our last podcast and some of the stuff that we've had going on in the past, don't worry. This number one podcast is still out there. You can still go and search for it. You can go and get your Richard Hammond, Matt Goss, David Gandy. But today we are going to be continuing our journey through the automotive alphabet. Now, we've already accelerated through A, which was hilarious and great fun. We then breezed through B. See what we've done there?
Boom.
Accelerated through A, breezed through B. Get that? You like that, Andy, didn't you?
I loved it.
It's great. It's
a special thing.
All right. Guess what's next after A, B? What is it, Michelle?
C.
Hey, you got there in the end.
C.
Right. So
I've got a good one.
All right. Well, okay. Well, let's go with Mrs. B first.
Carry on.
You sure? Okay, so we asked the audience out there for some car-related questions. Before we get there, though, it's always nice to, you know, because I've now got new tyres on the car. We're number one. We pulled into the pits. The team have been out. They've knocked some new tyres on it. We're grippy. We're ready to go. Filled up with fuel. My wingman.
Where are you going?
We're going. We're on the road. My wingman is beside me, Mr. J. You're in the back seat of the car. So let me just throw it over to Andy. Andy, come on, give me a C.
We're cruising, Mike.
Cruising? I love it. I love it. Go on.
Okay.
Go on then. Give me another C, but make it like ask me a question about a C. Oh,
I'm going to ask you a terrible question, Mike. A really terrible question.
Go on then.
Oh.
Because it's a question that I bet you get stopped and asked at every car show and at every car park and in every garage you're stopped in and so on.
Go on then.
And that is, it's related to C, car. What's your favourite car?
Get in. Hey, that's an easy one.
Isn't it?
It is an easy one, right? Because I wish I could say it is another C, which I did have in my life. I had the most, we have the most amazing Citroen SM in our lives.
Oh, that was an itch.
It was an itch.
Oh, he gets itches.
I scratched, and I managed to find this absolutely amazing
lovely color.
Citroen SM.
Lovely.
It was Vertigenti was the colour, green. Got fully nut and bolt restored by great friends of mine, Nathan, his dad, Roger, at Paragon MOT and Service Centre. They done an amazing job, amazing paint job on it. It won the Concours d'Elegance, International Concours d'Elegance. It was driven and used by Jeremy Clarkson and Richard Hammond in the last episode of Canage de Troyes from their series they put on Amazon TV.
I remember.
You remember
it.
The green one on the that was our
yes,
that was our,
that was yours.
That
of
was our car.
It was.
Yeah, that was a beautiful car. But that C, that little car, had another C in my world as well. It was a little C. So it was such a pain in the pain in the A. It was a pain in the A.
I thought you were going to say. You crashed it. No, but no, it was. It was the other.
It was the other C. Yeah. It was a. It was a pain in the A. To own it, and it was a little B as well, because every time it kept leaking, that car leaked. It was incontinent. It was in the autumn of its life, and wherever
is that what they normally do though?
No, this one. Well, they do leak a bit, but this one leaked a lot, and I just couldn't keep on top of it. It was just you would tighten up the leak, so I'd have it in the air at my ramp. I'd tighten up the leak, and by the time you walk back to the toolbox and put the tool away and turn around, it's weeing again. And it just become too much of a pain. Now, that was one of my favourite Cs, my favourite cars. But the truth is, the real famous C that I own, and my favourite C at the moment, is a 1964 Mini Cooper.
Yes!
C for Cooper. S.
Brilliant.
Get in. So, yeah, me and Michelle have got the most amazing Mini Cooper S called Frankie. We absolutely love it, and that's our favourite C.
We've heard from quite a lot of our wonderful listeners as well, haven't we, Mike? And actually, the Citroën has come up a few times. I believe there's a guy called Nick who is trying to sort of fully restore one at the moment, and he is finding it a C for challenge just now.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's aligned with your story, Mike.
It certainly is. I mean, that C for challenge is going to develop into another C, Andy, later on during his relationship with his car. Listen, the problem is with them, Andy, lots of the stuff on the Citroën SM is unobtainable. You know, you can't buy a piston or a piston ring. Nobody makes a valve for it anymore. So either you're going to find somebody who can manufacture it for you and make one for you in an engineering shop in France or wherever you can go, or you're really going to struggle to find those parts out there. They are getting rarer and rarer by the minute. It's fair to say, if you think of the Citroën SM...
Do they hold their value then?
Amazingly. Oh. And if you think of what those cars are in the first place, it's a Citroën Maserati. That's why it's called an SM, Citroën Maserati. So it's a Citroën designed car with a Maserati engine. Both of them, when they put that car together, were at the worst time in their histories. Citroën were making dreadful cars back then, and they were really going through a bad patch with reliability. Maserati were falling through the floor, losing money. So never the twain should meet. These two car companies should never be able to produce something that would actually fundamentally work. They were both blooming hopeless at the time. But something magical happened. You had the flair of the French design, and then you had the heart of a beating Italian. And when the two of them come together, it was just a poem in steel. That car is absolutely gorgeous to be in, to drive, to be around. But it's got so many quirks to it, and that's what makes it fragile and a little bit of a C.
Yes, I hear you. And we should have gone with C for classic as well. But actually, Mike, I've got to tell you, I've lined up a couple of surprises for you for this alphabet. And one of them, I consider, and I'm pretty confident you're going to agree with me, the greatest C in the automotive world. In fact, this is a C that we have mentioned rather extensively with Mr. Gandhi in the recent episode that went out just a few days ago.
But hold on a minute, you surprised me. What, in what way? What, is going to come from the door, burst through the door? What's happening?
I'm going to bring him on the line. This is C.
What?
For the majestic Ian Callum.
Majestic?
There he is.
Get him
on the line.
How can we ever do a podcast about the letter C in the automotive world and not have Ian Callum, the legend that is, the man who basically drew everything that we know and have come to love on the roads today, and the man responsible for that,
iconic,
the legend that is Ian Callum.
Oh my gosh.
Ian, welcome to our show.
Thank you. That's very, very complimentary of you. I don't quite see myself that way, but never mind. That's fine. I'll take it.
Ian, you should see yourself that way. Every time I see you, you're such a humble man. And, I mean, your day started all the way back with Ford. Every Aston Martin that's beautiful out there come from the end of your pencil. And then every Jaguar that's beautiful out there come from the end of your pencil. It's when everything starts to go wrong. It's when you leave these companies. It all falls downhill. It's the moment you step out the door. But now I'm pleased to say... we are going to get you on this podcast properly as a proper guest, which I can't wait because I could just sit and listen to you for hours. But now I'm pleased to say you've got your own design company, Callum Design, and you're flying at the moment.
Yes, no, it's doing well, and we're employing quite a few people, and we're doing lots of different things. It's just what I wanted to do. I actually trained as an industrial product designer. So I've got other things in my head I want to do, including furniture. And we've even done boat houses for people and things like that. So we're having a lot of fun and it's busy. In fact, I'm probably busier now than I've been in a long time.
Where are you based?
Warwick.
Oh, in Warwick.
Right.
Oh.
So, which is really handy, Michelle,
very
because
handy.
We happen to live in Warwick and
yes.
Ian just said he's doing furniture and we're doing
yes.
up a house.
Yes.
I wonder if Ian's got his Gothic
round.
Architecture
Come
hat on.
He does. Actually, he has got an amazing chair, C for chair. There you go. A Callum chair sitting in the mansion
yeah.
could
has
be
he?
Pretty
yeah.
spectacular. It'll cost about the same as your roof, though, Mike, I'd have thought.
Oh, right. Well, let's not do that. I
right,
can't do
okay.
that. I mean, Ian, you even had your own whiskey, didn't you?
We did a whiskey with a friend of mine who just happens to own a distillery in Scotland. And we were old friends from school. And we got back together and he said, let's celebrate what you've done. And we'll pick a special cask and we'll fill up your bottle. So we designed a bottle for it, put our name all over it. And so I have a whiskey.
Is a question for you, Ian. In the automotive world, in terms of cars,
yeah.
do you have a favourite C? I mean, I mentioned earlier the Citroën SM, which I've owned and loved. Do you have a favourite C?
Cooper, as in Mini Cooper.
Bing, 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 bing. Yep, 10 points.
A proper Mini, a lovely Mini Cooper C. You've got quite a varied car collection. Do you have one in your collection?
Yes, I do. I've got two, actually. Yeah, I love Minis.
In fact, Ian, why I got you here, and it's really relevant and current, did you have anything to do with the Sierra Cosworth? Did you have anything to do with that?
I finished off the design for it.
That is yeah. the most appropriate timing, because you probably know, Ian, like the rest of the world knows, at Silverstone Auctions recently at the Race Retro show, a very low-mile, two-door RS500 Sierra Cosworth went across the block. And everyone stood back in amazement at a car that Ian Callum once signed off and finished off. Everyone stood back in amazement as one of his Picasso fine arts, the Banksy of the car world, went across the block and put Ian Callum's name in the history books forever as it sold for £530,000.
Oh, my gosh.
For a Sierra
Colossal.
Cosworth.
He must have passed out,
Colossal.
The guy.
Mad. Absolutely mad.
Well, no, Ian, don't say that. See, Banksy goes and sprays a picture of somebody throwing, a Molotov cocktail on the wall and it sells for millions. You draw
yeah.
cars like that and years later, they come into their own and they become the art world. They right. become the new art world.
Yeah, man, I must admit my input into it was probably rather small, but at least I had something.
Claim it, Ian. Claim it. It's yours. Yeah. It's
take
yours
it,
now.
Take
claim it.
It.
Quick.
I do have a C that is even higher value, that is entirely connected to Ian, that we have discussed briefly on a previous episode that I'm going to bring up very quickly. And Ian, I know you're tight on time, but you've promised you're coming on for a proper session on a proper show. So this was merely a kind of quick, a soupçon of Callum so that we would have a little bit of a highlight so that we know that, you know, this episode's going to be amazing. But the car I'm talking about in question, Ian, is the CX-75.
Oh, of course. Yes. So that was a car we did, you know, it was 12, 13 years ago now, that car.
Gosh.
We had a lot of fun with it. And we got away with it. And we nearly got it into production.
Yeah. And the thing about that, the CX-75, I went to see it recently with Michelle down at the Heritage Centre. You could put that car on the road today and it still looks like a supercar, a very modern current supercar that somebody designed yesterday.
Mm.
Yes, because you keep it's disciplined. You keep it simple. You make sure every line works. And the thing about design, it's about editing, you know, and I think some of the modern designs are not very well edited, frankly, but we won't get into that. But you know, it's about taking away what you don't need. And the thing about that car is it's a very beautiful car because every line counts and every form counts and it's not confused by anything else. And that's what a good style and design is about. And of course, because it was driven by the design department, we just did it exactly as we wanted it to be rather than being told what dimensions are and et cetera, et cetera. And it's an aesthetic statement. So, yeah, just like designers design cars, it's much better than...
I just love that. Instead of this world where a computer churns them out and decides what we should be looking at, you've got somebody who actually puts pen to paper. But, you know, still today, me and Andy J and Michelle sitting in the back seat, we want to go and find a bloke who designed the PT Cruiser convertible or coupe and slap him around the face.
I know who it was. He's a friend of mine, so I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, now that is a man I'd like to punch. Honestly, yes. I mean, seriously, I wouldn't hold any, you know, I would never claim that as my own if I was him. Just move on to the next one. So, Ian, it's an absolute delight to have you on our show. It really is. I've known you for years. I love sharing time with you. Anytime we're together, we just talk and talk cars for hours and hours and hours. Long may that continue. And I love being around you and love listening to you. Before we let you go, what is next? What do we have to look for? You know, we've had the whiskey, you've got the chair, you've got the furniture, the Callum watch is out there. You know, what is there a car coming? That's what we all want to know. Yeah. Is there a Callum car coming?
I think there are cars coming for other people, and there may well be a Callum car coming, but Whey! I can't
get in.
Can't talk about cars for other people because it's obviously confidential. It will remain that way for a little while. And hopefully we'll get a car that we can say is entirely our own doing, and it might surprise a few people.
Well,
can't wait.
I know, yeah, exactly. I know we can't wait, but the rest of the world can't wait because we need your automotive design language out there. Could you make it less than the price of the roof of my house? And me and Michelle, we'll put our order down.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
We're there. We'll come to Warwick.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how much the roof costs, but we'll try.
Ian Callum, what can I say? What an utter delight to have you in front of us on our show. So thank you very much for giving up your very precious time. We're going to get you on as a guest. I think when we get further down the road in our podcast, we're going to get you on as a proper guest where we can sit down and really pour through your back history, your motivations, your loves, your likes, your hates, and we can find out a lot about you. And I know the audience would be desperate to find out all that stuff. So from me, from Michelle, and from Andy, mate, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Travel safe. How good was that?
Yeah, wonderful. Hey? Wow, I can't believe it.
The ledge that is in Callum.
And he's up the road.
It's the perfect sea. It was the perfect sea for this podcast. Andy, how do we beat that? I mean, don't tell me you're going to get me to talk about a Cavalier now. Please don't.
I'll tell you how we beat it, Mike. We have a little commercial break. I think that's what we do.
Oh, I need a breath. Thank you for listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast brought to you by the Gardex Group. Gardex offer a range of award-winning automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. Whether you're buying your next car or you're an automotive dealer, look no further. Go with Gardex. To find out more, visit GardexGroup.com.
This episode of the Wheeler Dealer podcast is brought to you by the letter C.
Right, now, whilst we're talking about the letter C, Mike, I'm sure you can remember on the very first episode of this show, you were asked by your lovely wife, Mrs. B, what made you angry behind the wheel, and you had a bit of a rant about certain cyclists.
I did, yes. They sort of grind my gears, so to speak. So I spend a lot of time on the road and in the countryside and in towns and villages and cities. And I've seen some atrocious behaviour by these Lycra wear. They look like they're in the Sky Sports team or on their way to a Peloton somewhere. But they're just Greg going to Greg's, basically, to get a sausage roll. Yeah, so I've seen some abominable behaviour on the bike.
Well, Mike, I'm going to tell you, I think it's only fair that we give cyclists a voice on this show as well, even though it's a car show.
Do we have to?
Yes, I think we should.
Do we have to?
What I'm pleased to say, I'm going to dub him London's most famous cyclist.
Oh, don't tell me.
He is a man who can do a wheelie on a penny farthing, big wheel up, right? He is the legendary broadcaster that is Mr. Jeremy Vine.
No way.
And he is here on the line right now for the two of you to have a little... Not a heated discussion, but one of them, I'm assuming, Mr. Vine, is going to be pro cyclists, and I'm guessing you'll be pro cars.
I will be pro cars.
Jeremy, welcome.
Thank you. I honestly, at the moment, I listen to that, I don't know what we've done wrong. I can hear is there's a guy in a car who's getting angry for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, I would imagine, Jeremy, you do nothing wrong because you're on a penny farthing. I very much doubt you're looking down on the traffic from that lofty height that you'll be up. And you're looking down. I bet you've had the wrath of manimals cycling past you and almost taking you off your penny farthing. But you're probably in plus fours and you haven't got your bum in the air like a baboon's ass as you're going down the road with all that padding inside it, knocking people's wingmen.
mirrors off.
I'll tell you, I mean, I do have a penny farthing. I have learned to ride it. It's a source of some pride. I probably take it out for about 20 minutes a week. So most of the time, I'm on a normal commuter bike. And actually, do you know what? I assume my bike would be stolen once every 5 years. I've now had it for 6 years. And I'm like, come on, guys, it's time to steal it. I want to get a new one.
You want an upgrade. So
it's a really rubbish bike. What's changed and what you're going to be upset about is I've just decided to start wearing some Lycra because I don't like getting into work in sweaty clothes.
No.
So that I'm not the baboon. I'm not doing that bottom-up maneuver, but I am wearing some Lycra and I am going down the road. And if I'm in front of you, you better not overtake me.
Oh, Jeremy, please, you're such a hero of mine. I mean, you're like one of my favourite ever broadcasters. And now I have to stare at you on the TV thinking of you in tight Lycra with some fake name emblazoned all over you like you're just on the way to a peloton. And you're not. You're just on your way to work.
Oh,
please, Jeremy, don't do this to yourself.
I mean, just a practical thing. Honestly, I cycle 15 miles a day, and if you get sweaty and you're wearing the same clothes all day, it's not pleasant. Okay, I'm not going to mention yeast or whatever, but you just basically you've got to have something light and not clingy. Let's not go, it doesn't. I'm not wearing stuff with blooming go faster stripes on it. Let's leave the Lycra. The Lycra doesn't matter. Lots of cyclists are upset by Lycra. It doesn't matter. It's not the issue.
Okay, so look, we're gonna park the Lycra to use a terrible pun.
Hold on a minute. He did use the yeasty word.
Yeah, the yeast has come up.
You can get
a yeast infection. I wouldn't recommend jumping in a jacuzzi anytime soon, Jeremy. Nonetheless, there is something that Mike. I feel. It's my duty to alert you to this. I follow, like millions of others, I follow Jeremy on Twitter.
Yeah.
And every day, Jeremy will put out a new video that he's filmed from his drone whilst cycling.
Oh, I've seen this, yeah.
Right, where almost every day, there's at least one new driver who Jeremy has named and shamed and reported.
Yeah.
For a combination of... Jeremy, the ones that sort of do irritate me are the ones you get who are on their phones. Because that's such a clear and obvious rule that we've been so acutely aware of for such a long time. And yet, and I sort of think, no, people aren't still doing that. They're still doing it everywhere, aren't they?
Look, my point with Jeremy is that, yes, there are cyclists out there that break the law. There are motor car drivers out there that also equally break the law. But what we need to do is to sort of rub alongside each other a lot better than we do.
So
go on, Jeremy.
That's great. I agree with that. There are 15,000 kilometres of road in London, and 167 kilometres have a segregated cycle lane, which is about 1%. So let's have a 50-50 split, and then we can talk about rubbing along together.
Well, you know, I don't think that's a bad idea, you know, rubbing along together on a 50-50 split, as long as people just abide by the rules of the road. I've seen, and you would have seen it on your penny farthing or on your new Lycra clad bike. You would have seen that people bomb down the road on their push bikes, come to a set of red lights, and then nip across on on the junction. And that's what gives cyclists a bad name.
It does. I don't do that. And I honestly, I sit at red lights at 5:30 in the morning forever, because one alternative to wearing a number plate is being famous. So if I just don't want people to see me going through red lights ever. So I don't go through them. And it does annoy me a bit as well. But I tell you the defense of it, and it's this: you put all the bad drivers on bicycles and no one dies. That's the amazing thing.
Well, I'll tell you,
1,700 people a year dying because they're hit by cars. 2 a year dying because they're hit by bicycles. So let's get the bad drivers and make them cycle, and there'll be no road deaths.
Totally agree with you. However,
This is too harmonious.
I totally agree with it. However, if you keep doing your videos and putting them out there, could you also do the ones that are bad cycle driving as well? And that riding. And
yeah,
then that
would even
things up and make it a bit fairer.
But can you see that I'm being triggered slightly here? So I'm going into serious. Listen, I will at some point do that, but I'm also going to do a film about bees, because bees kill more people than bicycles. And I'll also do a film about cows. And then I'm going to do a film, I'm presuming you're about to ask me to do a film about people who go down the stairs before they've pulled up their trousers, because that's a cause of more deaths than bicycles. So really, dangerous cycling is way down the list. We're talking motor vehicle death here, guys. And the way to stop it is drivers don't behave better if you encourage them and share the road and all that crap. I'm sorry. They need enforcement. And the enforcement issue is getting really interesting now. I've noticed in the last couple of months a really big drop in drivers on mobile phones. And I think they started to realize that most cyclists are now mobile filming units. Mm. One of my friends called Cycling Mikey, you might have heard of, has just clocked up £100,000 in fines to motorists by filming phone drivers. Now, you might think that's very bad. I think he should be given a police medal. I think he's doing an incredible job. So I think possibly we're seeing a little bit of a, you know, a turn in some of our cities. People are driving at the right speed and not using their phone. And that would be, you know, quite a lot of progress, really.
Is there, and this is, I'm quite keen because this is just anecdotal, obviously, this is based on no evidence other than your own sort of two eyes. Is there one particular make of car that you've noticed is particularly antsy on the road? Is one brand, because it used to be BMW drivers were known as being the worst drivers
on the
road.
Well, they just don't have indicators, do they, BMW?
So I'm keen to know.
Yeah, I mean, post office vans are appalling. There is an issue with cab driving in London. It may be that the cab driving fraternity, who I think have got a lot of good new generation cab drivers, I think they're upset about road space being impinged on, and therefore there's sort of a little bit of a mindset that cyclists shouldn't be there. I had a friend who was in a cab and said, you know, why are you so angry about all these cyclists? And he said, how would you feel if someone pulled their trouser down and sat on your computer? So that's, I was trying to work out what kind of analogy
that's an image.
Is that? Yeah. So, but I mean, it's got to be Audis, hasn't it? It's always
Audis.
The Audi. Yeah. And also anything big, they're known as Panzers, these very, very large cars where the person is 8 foot off the ground. You think the penny farthing's riding at height?
Oh, I just hope that somewhere in the urban dictionary in the future, thanks to you, Jeremy Vine, we're going to have Panzers as a new word that's going to be in our vocabulary.
We can do that in W, on the alphabet W.
Yeah, we can. Jeremy, thank you so much for being on the show.
You.
We really appreciate it.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
I tell you what, wasn't he a great sport? We've had two cool cats as surprise special guests on this special Alphabet C episode. I really enjoyed both of those conversations. Ian Callum and Jeremy Vine, so much fun. But Mrs. B, you've got a C for us, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Now, my C is COVID.
Oh, not that. Go on. What's happened now? Is it back?
Well, I just want to know, have you noticed on the road when you're driving,
Yeah. Since
COVID, they're driving like nutters?
Absolutely. Right.
They're all over the place.
Right, so I don't know.
In and out,
no, exactly.
Foot down. What's
right,
going
no,
on?
I'm with you there. That's a good one, Mrs.
B. And there's
B.
no blue flashing
lights anywhere, right? So C for COVID,
what's
not that it's
that
coming
about?
Back. No, you're right. I feel that when we all took these lateral flow tests, when you're sticking that stick up your nose, it removes the indicator stalk part of your brain, and it also removes your ability to register the speed limit or lane discipline by sticking that stick up your nose to do your COVID test. Because we're going to ask Andy the same thing. Since the COVID test, I keep coming home. We spend a lot of time in the car together.
Yep.
I keep coming home from my and going, I have seen some of the worst driving on Britain's roads since COVID.
But when you're going along and the speed limit's 50,
yeah,
and we do 50, they go flying past.
They know
100.
Something. When they know,
so what have they got? Dodgy plates? What's going on?
I think so. They know something we don't know. Andy J, are you one of those people flying past at 100 miles an hour?
I can't risk being one of those people anymore, Mike.
Have you noticed the difference?
I have noticed, not just on the roads, but in real life as well. And I keep coming back to, well, what's it about? You know, we've got this second chance at life now. We've been unlocked for a long time now. And is it that some people are just so arrogantly thinking, well, you know, we survived COVID, we can do anything, we need to seize life for everything as well it's worth, and they've forgotten what it's like to be a good person? I don't know, but it's... it's not positive, I don't think.
What do they know that we don't know?
I don't know, but that's where another C for this podcast comes in, because when we got together and said we're going to do that, it's to cheer people up. So we're out there to cheer people up on this podcast. So if you're feeling down and miserable and you're going to take it out on the steering wheel and accelerate a pedal tomorrow, put the podcast on, listen to us on the way to work, relax, calm down. You're going to get there in the end anyway. Just cruise, as Andy J says, the big C word, Cruise. Right, let's get back to cars, because we've got quite a few cars coming in from people.
Yes, we do. In fact, you've got a particular one that we need to discuss, Mike, but just before we get onto that, there's a guy called C-Mac who talks about the camper van. And of course, this for me is a very special car. And we
even
if all we say is we love them, that's kind of all I needed to do. I love camper vans.
Oh, I love them.
Well, you would have seen on a recent episode of this TV show that I make that's quite well known, you would have seen that I restored a 1962 Bedford CA, see where I'm going with this, CA Dormobile camper, which I named Colin.
Yes.
See? Colin the Camper, CC. So I named him Colin the Camper. Now that, you can see the utter joy. I mean, like my heart was bursting with love as soon as I turned a corner and saw Colin the Camper. And I knew that that vehicle had to be restored. And there is something magical about having a house on wheels that you can take your loved ones with you. You can put them on the road and go an adventure anywhere you want to be.
You can be in when you're out.
You could be, Michelle, get in.
Oh, one-liner.
You could be in when you're out. That's brilliant. I want that on a T-shirt. You can be in when you're out. Get a camper van.
I love it. I love it. And Mike, I think we should just touch on one last one, a C that is close to your heart, isn't it?
Yeah, so we've had Des, and he says, do I remember the PA Cresta? It comes from Vauxhall, from the late 1950s into the early 60s. The mid-series car has got fins on the back of it with indicators that are in the fins. It's the closest we ever got in the UK to an American car. If you look at one, they just look like a Cadillac. They look like a 52 Bel Air. They look like a 50, you know, they just look like an American 50s car. And it's the closest we ever got. And rather appropriately, my dad has been out there looking for one for quite a while now. And he's sending me these cars. And we went and see one recently. Belongs to a lovely chap who's got this PA Cresta in really good condition. He wouldn't take a bid for it. So me and my dad had to sort of go, oh, he was being quite strict with his price, and we had to wander away from it. But we want to do a cash deal on this car. Cash deal for the PA Cresta. See where I'm going with this. So I really hope my dad can fulfil his dream. It's what he wants. He wants to enjoy the autumn of his years with my mother and go to a few car shows. And I'd like to do it in comfort.
Yes.
Yeah, with his Cresta. Hopefully he gets the car that he's looking for. So, yeah, it means a lot to me because, you know, one day I'll probably be driving it around.
Love it. Love it. Just a few quick ones from the listeners, and we'll just literally rattle through them because we've had so many. I'll just kind of pull out a couple for you. James obviously said the Chevrolet, Simon the Chevette, Dragos says the Corvette, from Zodiac, a dude called Zodiac. Imagine being called Zodiac. That's a cool name. He talks about the Cobra, one of my personal absolute favorites, the AC Cobra. Just love it. Gavin wanted to mention the Carrera. Ian, of course, the Cosworth, which we've touched upon. I mean, we've actually spoilt for choice with C, aren't we? I think when we get further down the alphabet, we might have a few where we're struggling slightly, but C is one we could probably just talk and talk and talk and talk.
We'll have this discussion again, Andy, when we get to Q. It'll be the Audi Q3, Q4, Audi Q5, Audi Q6. That's what we'll be doing when we get to Q. Listen, it's been a fantastic ride on the road with my two partners again. I've absolutely loved it. Michelle shouting away in the backseat, my wingman Andy J beside me, and we've had a really curious and creative celebration of all things car-related, beginning with the letter C. So thank you.
Yes, we've loved it. It's been a carousel of all things C. And if you've heard and enjoyed this episode, then, well, we'd love it. It would mean a lot to us if you could tell your mates, tell your family, if you could leave us a nice rating and a good review. We'd really love that so that we can keep on chugging up those charts with this podcast because we're enjoying it.
Chugging
and we can only keep
charts.
Going if we're kind of getting you guys involved and carrying on up there. So we really appreciate of all of those of you. I mean, there are thousands that have heard the show so far, which has blown our minds. So please keep up spreading the word and keep on keeping on because we're having a good time, aren't we, Mike?
We certainly are. Please do keep in touch with your comments and questions. We love hearing from you. You're our passengers. You're in the spare seat in this car with the three of us. So you can get in touch with us. It's really easy. Just Andy J on Twitter and Instagram. Go and look at him. Mrs. M. Brewer on Instagram and also on Twitter. And for me, it's really simple. It's Mike Brewer, Instagram and Twitter, and Wheeler Dealer on Facebook.
We have a very big celebrity coming up in a couple of days. Should we tease it a little bit, Mike? Are you happy to share?
I think we could tease it. I mean, he's a massive petrol head. He created a phenomenon globally around the world with his car show. He's from Dallas in Texas. He's loud and he's fast, and he's none other than Mr. Richard Rawlins.
Yes. That will be on the way in your inboxes, in your podcast inboxes, in just a couple of days. This has been a TBI Media production. Thank you so much for your C for company. We'll catch you soon.
Thanks for listening and for being a passenger on the Wheeler Dealer podcast. It was brought to you by Gardex Group, the ultimate vehicle protection solutions provider. Whether you're buying your next car or an automotive dealer, go with Gardex. Visit GardexGroup.com. Ta-da!
Ta-da!